Again, thank you for being here. I'm going to ask you right now if you'll turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 7. Actually, I think I've got 6 and 8. Ruth 2, 6 and 8 is what we're going to read. And again, I'm going to definitely, as I said, honor your time today. What a great, great Easter Sunday we had last week. What a great day we had. I'm thankful for it. Thank you for your helping all the candy and the eggs. And I had one kid come to me and say last week, he said, "Yo, Pastor Paul," I said, "What's up?" He said, "I made $13 today." I said, "Bro, you made more than me today." I said, "Can I borrow a couple of dollars?" He said, "Nope." Then he gave me like some of that reject candy some of you guys bought on the sale aisle. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know nobody likes that candy. But there's always that one little package you're like, "We're gonna sick this over here." No, I'm just giving you a hard time. So the servant who was in charge, I'm reading out of the New King James, but so the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." Verse 7 says, "And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." I'm going to speak to you on the simple topic of when things line up. When things line up. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing that's in the room. I pray, Lord, that you'd move and help in every situation, God. God, I'm asking you to speak to every life, every heart, every family, every hurting soul, everybody who's tired, anybody that's walked in carrying a burden. I pray that you'd let them know right now that I believe your word today has given us an assurance that things are going to line up and it's going to make sense. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 The Lord's set something up special for us today. We are on the eve of one of the craziest few days that we could possibly imagine, so they've said. I've heard about this coming for a while, and yesterday on the interstate, I saw one sign downtown Little Rock said, I guess it was Friday, but it said, "No parking on the interstate during the eclipse." It's because you're in Arkansas, and you know somebody's going to try it. Somebody's going to try it. I did find out that in Heber, they opened up all of these campsites. Has anybody else heard about the Heber campsites fiasco that's going on? And it's sad, really, but Japanese people have flown in. They've wanted to be in the path of the eclipse. And when they opened them up, they quickly reserved all of the campsites over in Heber. And they rented buses. And they got buses to bring them, and the buses dropped them off. They got out, and they went to check in, and they got all their campsite registrations. And there's not like 10 of them. There's like hundreds of good people. I believe I heard even 1,500, but I may be wrong. But anyways, they came in, and they said, "Okay, now where are our tents?" And they said, your tents." They said, "Yes, we reserved campsites. Where are the tents?" And they said, "You didn't reserve tents, you reserved campsites." And so now for 4 days, so some good guests over in Heber that have been roughing it. Y'all thought you had it rough. Lord bless our good visitors. It's been a lot happened. In 2017, I remember getting in the backyard and I was one of the crazy ones. My kids wanted to see it, and I wasn't going to let them go blind, so I went and got me at Harbor Freight a welder's mask, and I put a little infrared remote on it. You could push the button, and it caused that to darken, and you could look up, and I looked like a space alien. But we were in the back, and we got to experience that, and now here we are again getting to experience it. But the next one is going to be in 2045, and people are coming from everywhere. Obviously, you see many things happen around the area, and you're going to see a lot tomorrow, and it's probably going to be kind of chaotic, and much will be closed during that time. They're concerned about the interstates. They're concerned about emergency vehicles. You've heard it all. You've heard it all. But the reality is that what's taking place is that is the sun has been where it's been. The moon has been where it's been. But here we have, for 2,420 days, we've gone through this movement where you and I have just kind of continued on with life. And they've been looking forward to this for a while. This has been talked about for a long time. But here for these almost 2,500 days, the earth has just kind of rotated and gotten itself situated. And what's happening now is we are getting to the point where things are about to line up. Things are about to line up where things are going to come into order in a way that's unique. It's not a common occurrence as far as every day, nor would it be that we would experience it as often as you might think, but it's about to line up. I find in the Word of God that there's many moments where you could say, and again, we read it with a little different perspective than maybe we should, because we read the story of David and Goliath. We read the story of the wall of Jericho from the understanding of Joshua. I see it if you just keep on going. I got good news. The wall is going to fall. We read the story and we wait and we wonder at times, and I do wonder about the other figures of the story that might have looked and said, I'm tired. Why doesn't this just happen? Why don't the walls just fall? Why don't the walls just come down? But Joshua led his men, and those who were maybe weary, he just kept saying, if we just continue on. What he was saying is, if you'll continue on, things are going to line up. It's going to make sense, but you got to continue on a little bit. If David would have known that you just got to keep on, things are going to line up. We can find many, many stories in the Word of God, Samson being one as well, where he went through the trial he went through. But as he sat there and contemplated some things, he reached up one day after his fall and he felt what was growing back on his head. And then he stands between the pillars in front of the Philistines and he realized in that moment, Lord, if you can remember me. And what he was saying is, Lord, I feel like things are lining up. I feel like things are coming into order in my life. And in that moment where he felt the strength come back on him, he began to push. And in his death, more Philistines were taken out than in his life. But he had to go on and trust that things are going to line up. In our text today, we read about Ruth, and Ruth was one of the daughters that came, or the daughter that came back with Naomi after a failed trip to Moab. And anytime you read about Moab, you find that Moab is a type or a symbol of our flesh. And when Lot was fleeing from Sodom, he had two children. One was named Ammon and one was named Moab. And Moab was born out of sin but was connected to Israel by birth. And so there was a unique connection there. And so it was pretty much drawing the comparison that you and I, just as we have our spiritual life, once we come and we give ourselves fully to God, we repent, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, baptize, I live under the influence, if I can say it this way, of Israel. I live under the influence of the Spirit, yet I walk in the daily life in what is called my flesh. And my flesh sometimes desires the wrong things. And I'm not talking just about cake and ice cream. But sometimes we're drawn to the wrong things. Sometimes we make bad decisions. Sometimes we say the wrong things. Sometimes we have our flesh that sneaks up on us. And so Ammon was one of the children, and Moab was one. When the daughters looked and they got their dad into a drunken stupor, he sired these kids. And so they were born of good stock, but they were born in sin. Does that make sense? And so Moab is always one of those things that we look at and say, well, that's a type or symbol of our flesh. That is something connected to our flesh. And so we have that. It's okay, we're just going to help out a little bit up here. But we have that, in our spiritual self. So let me just pause for a moment and tell somebody, just because you've fallen or made a mistake does not mean that you're done. Does not mean that you can't get back up. Does not mean you should throw in the towel. It means, though, you get back up and you do everything you can to keep on going and push through to the things of God and let it happen in your life. So Moab is a type or symbol of our flesh. And here we find that this wonderful family decided, you know, the grass is green over there. And they took a trip. They took a trip in the flesh, if I can say it that way. They go and then they bring home, or they marry daughters of Moab. And one after all the terrible things that took place, after all the children were gone, after all the family was gone, after dad's gone, mom is going back. She's going back. She's retreating back to her home. And we find one daughter. Ruth said, your people will be my people. You're got to be my God. And that was a big statement. We brushed by it quickly, but she was leaving all her beliefs behind, and she was saying, I'm going with you, and I'm making my mind up before I get there that I'm going to let my mind be converted to your beliefs. And so she goes back, and we find her in their darkness and in their struggle and all that went wrong in their life. We find that Ruth looks up and says to Naomi, or Mara, she says, I'm not going to sit here and die. I'm going to get up. And you know the story, but let me just get there today. She says, I'm going to get up and I'm going to see what the Lord has for me. And the scripture says that she looks and she finds that there's a family member that she has, and it's not hers, but yet hers by marriage. And Boaz has a field not far. And now these fields would not have been like we're used to. They would not have had a fence line. They wouldn't have had a sign saying Blake Loy Farms or anything like that. It's a real deal. But they would have been just a field. Tough crowd. No one wanted to laugh at me about that. They're feeling bad for you. It would have been a field. And she gets up, and the scripture says she begins to watch as somebody was going before her. They would drop a few things. And then when they would drop those things, they were dropping some of those on purpose. And there was a gleaning law of that time, because they knew that some that needed would come in and take what wasn't good enough for the harvest, but was good enough to partake of. And so it was really not... There was a time where I thought this would have been against the law. This was not against the law. It was against the law to take what was not left for gleaning, but it was not against the law to glean. And so she's walking through, and she's kind of, can you help me just for a moment, Pastor Austin? Can you just kind of walk around a little bit? Just take your time and move about. I know that you are so excited about that. I realize he's probably like, man, I'm going to kill you. But he's just kind of move about. And so Boaz was moving about, and he comes to a place, just kind of make the long loop around the whole field if you can. And thank you so much. You look good, by the way. We appreciate you very much. Just take your time, man. But Boaz walks in, and she's out gleaning, and he comes into the field. And when he gets into the field, he says to his people, he says, bless you. And they say back to him, bless you, because he was a good king. He was a good king. And as he's walking in one day, he walks over and he sees, and Ruth had made her way, not knowing the land, not knowing the place. She had made her way into his field. She was hoping she was there, but in the moment where she was gleaning at the spot, right there, stop right there. Boaz happened to be in this place where all of a sudden there was a lane that was made. And some would say this was by accident. No, I don't believe that this was by accident. Here's a tired, weary, scared woman that's trying to sustain not just herself, but sustain his family member, sustain her mother-in-law in a tent where she's mourning, and the only thing she gets is all the leftovers, all the stuff that was thrown aside. That's the only thing she gets. And he says, who is that woman? And they said, well, she's the Moabite is what she is. She's just a Moabite. She's not even from here. She's a foreigner. She's not even of our land. And he says, but isn't, okay, well, what I want you to do is I want you to drop some things on purpose, and here's what I want you to see out of this. She travels all that way from Moab. She comes all into tons of questions in her life. Tons of hurts and tons of pain. She's lost more than she's gained in recent days. But she got back up and she said, I'm going to gather a few things. And then she comes back around and gathers again. The scripture that we read this morning actually said, they told Boaz, she said, I want to glean. I just come to glean. From morning until evening, she rested just a moment, but she gleaned. She got up. She didn't quit and say, this isn't working. She didn't quit and say, nobody's doing this for me. She didn't quit and say, nobody cares about me. No, she kept on going, and she kept on picking up what she could pick up. She kept on getting up and going again. She had a bad past, but she believed in her future enough to get up again, She did not realize what was about to happen. She didn't realize that Boaz had showed up on the land. He probably had many places he would have checked up on. But on this certain day, he got up and he happened to look down and away. And he sees someone gleaning in the field. And all of a sudden, things begin to line up. All of a sudden, things begin to come together. All of a sudden, things begin to kind of just shifted in the right direction. She did not know, but he knew. She wasn't aware, but he was aware. Guess what happened the next day? She got up again, but she didn't realize there was a word declared to his people. Make sure that she gets some handfuls of good stuff. She had to make a decision the next day. Do I keep on going? Was it worth it? You see, she didn't have the information that the servant had. She wasn't told, come here, I've told them this. No, she didn't know that. She had to make up in her mind, do I get up or do I go again? And this day she gets up and she goes again. And she's gathering some things and she's walking around. But now she's finding the good stuff. She's finding the good things. She sees that there is much left on this. This is not chewed up by the worms. She's seeing that these are the good things. And she had no word given to her, but she had the goodness dropping before her. The whole key was, is are you going to get up enough to let things line up in your life? Or do you quit so soon that you say it's never going to work out for me in my life? Sometimes you got to just keep on going, even when it's awkward. When you don't know, is he going to let me be seated or keep on going? Sometimes you got to keep on going. You got to keep on walking. You know why I'm saying that? Because some of you are walking in and you're worried what people are thinking. You're worried what people are thinking. You're worried what's on their minds. You're worried. Let me tell you right now, there's not one person whose opinion of you matters that's sitting on a seat in this church. The only opinion that matters is what you're doing for the things of God. And if you've decided, I'm going to keep on going, because at some point in their life, they kept on going too. And at some point, there was a moment where things began to line up for them as well. There was a moment where all of a sudden things began to shift. Things began to come in place. Things begin to kind of come back around. There was a moment when all of a sudden things begin to happen. This had happened. This has happened throughout the Word of God. This had happened in Genesis 24 and 27. Genesis 24 and 27. It gives us the understanding. And let me go quickly a little bit ahead. So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Micah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said this, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me being on the way, the Lord led me to this house of my master's brethren. He was saying, I was out looking for somebody. I was out looking for somebody to bring home as a wife for my master. And he just guided me. The scripture says the servant prayed and he said, lead me somewhere. What he simply did is he got up again. He got up and he gleaned again. He got up and he went again. And all of a sudden things lined up, not because the Lord created a family out of nothing. things lined up because the sun was already there and the moon has already been there. And it just took a little while for us to spin to a place and get the axis just right. And when the axis gets right and we spin just enough, things line up to do something that's mind-boggling. Let me tell you right now, here's what I'm speaking to you. The difference between those who have received a miracle in their life that they believe they prayed for, versus somebody who's still saying, God, where are you? Many times the difference is you're just not there yet. And that's not judgment. That's not God being tough on you. No, what I'm meaning by that is you're almost there. Today is the day before the eclipse, but today is not the day of the eclipse. What I want to say to you with that, let me take the word eclipse out and exchange that word with miracle. Today may be the day before the miracle, but today is not the day of the miracle. But the miracle is on its way. The miracle is about 26 hours away. The miracle is already put in motion. The miracle is already coming. Yesterday, I had to go quickly to the district conference, and I'm coming to a close. Had to go quickly to the district conference. And on the way home, I looked over, and I-30 was backed up, and I couldn't believe it. I saw it, and then the trees were gone, and I saw one man who got tired of the waiting, and he took his old Ford pickup and went down deep into the valley and got stuck and wasn't coming back out. But the traffic was backed up. But as I got there, I was confused. Thank you, Pastor Austin, for your help today. Keep on walking. I'm just kidding. As I got to a certain point, when I got there, actually, I was confused. I was like, man, why are they all stopped right there? Why is everybody stopped? But then I realized, wait, they've just cleared the interstate. Traffic's about to move again. Traffic was already moving. But 10 seconds later, traffic was still held up and no one could see in front of them what was happening. There were people outside leaned up against the car. There was one guy outside, I'm kidding you not, he was practicing his golf swing. He was getting that weight shifted just right. There was one family that was walking the little dog in the median. And I felt like the Lord just kind of nudged me a little bit. You feel like you're in a holdup right now. But it's already opened up ahead of you. It's just going to take a minute. You feel like you're stuck right now. But if I could tell somebody today, if I could speak to somebody, whether it's your first day or you've been here for years and years and years and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you feel like you're just held up. You don't know what I wanted to yell out to the traffic on the other side of the road is I wanted to say, guys, you don't know what I know. It's about to open up and you're about to get back on your way. Get in your car. Get yourself situated again. Get your seat back on. Get your seat up. It's about to move. It's about to move. It's about to happen. It's about to take place. But right now you're set up because you think it's never going to end. But I've got good news. It's coming. And then the car behind you, you might wait another day or another moment, but it's going to go. And you behind, you're going to go too. And it's going to happen for you. What I've come to tell somebody in this house today is you got to keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. It's going to line up. It's going to line up. It's going to line up. And the miracle is going to happen in your life. What I'm telling you right now, I believe with my whole heart, and I'm done with this, is all the needs we have of this church. I'm telling you right now, we've been on the phone. We need space so badly over there. Guess what? I believe it's going to line up. We need the playground set up. It's going to line up. We need a place for our young people to be comfortable and have a place they can go. It's going to line up. But I don't know if you're looking around. We need a church house that'll be able to be filled with many more people. It's going to line up. It's going to line up. But will I believe that and preach that? I know there's people in this house, you have great needs today. Carolyn came back and didn't have the greatest report last week. And I'm preaching a word of faith right now, knowing that we have a need
But what I want to tell you is that prayer and testimony is only a moment away from each other. So what I've come today, as I prayed and I believe it's going to line up. As I come in and we get back in the house of the Lord, there's grandkids that were here last week that we wish were back this week from grandmothers and grandfathers who have prayed and prayed. But what I want to tell you right now, what I want to speak to you right now, it's going to line up. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it will line up. You just keep on praying. You don't stop praying. You don't quit believing. You keep on going because things will come together. Would you stand to your feet all over this house for a moment right now? I want you to feel moved right now in this house. I don't want you to now shut down and think it's almost time to go. But this is a moment that we've come to this critical moment right now where I believe the Lord wants to do something in many lives, and we have to make a decision. Do I check out? Or do I push forward and allow God to bring me some hope in a hopeless situation that I'm feeling? I mean, you might feel like you're 10 cars deep and you don't know what's ahead of you. But let me tell you right now, I've already seen the fruit. I've already seen they've cleared the road. I would tell the widow at Ziklag, I would love to slip into that story in real time and tell her, listen, I know you got tears in your eyes, but I promise you this, if you'll trust the word of God in your life. I know it seems crazy to make a cake for what you don't really have, but make a cake for him first. But the reality is the Lord has sustained him. The cake's not for him. The cake is for you. You just got to display a little obedience in your life and let faith take over for a moment. The cake's for you. The blessing is for you. I love to whisper in her ear and tell her, I know you've been gathering sticks and I know your son's hungry and I know you're calling it quits after this meal, but I've got news for you. It's not over for you. It's not over. It's not over. I know you're weighing out your past more than you are your future, but I've come to tell you something right now, that your past is only a part of your testimony. It's only a part of your testimony. But I believe the Lord's got something great for you. I've come to tell somebody today. As you mix together what you have left, you pull it together and you allow that heat to bake what you only had for you, but you go and you offer it unto him. Your obedience is about to do a work in your life that you could not possibly even fathom. Why? Because obedience of getting up again is just going to allow things to line up. It's going to line up. It's going to line up. All over this place, every eye closed just for a moment. Before we go into this next phase of baptism, I wish we'd take a moment right now and ask the Lord, Lord, help me and lead me and guide me. Let me ask you right now with every eye closed, if you're in this place today and you feel even discouraged or you feel challenged and you know that the Lord has something for you, but you feel as if you've been held up and you're waiting and you're longing for something to come. What I'm asking today is if you'd be so bold and so courageous as to step out from where you are and say, God, I'm taking a step and I'm going to glean in the field another day. What you don't know is that it's already been made. The miracle's already there. The answer's already been placed into the process of getting to you, but you've got to go again. You've got to trust again. I'm wondering today as they get ready to sing, would you take a moment with us right now and say, God, I commit to you. I will not quit and I will not give up and I will not throw in the towel. I believe in Jesus' name. Jesus. God, I pray, help.